InstaRead pregnancy thermometers. You just put it in like a turkey and it just pops out when it's...
What?
Are you saying you're going to put a thing in a woman's, into her uterus, and it's going to pop when the baby is ready?
No, like InstaRead pregnancy thermometers. So like a turkey where it's like, oh,
Christopher.
Wait, so they know when they're pregnant or they know when they're about to give birth?
When they know they're pregnant.
So a pregnancy, an internal pregnancy test.
A pregnancy test, yeah.
You know, exactly. It's just always in there.
I mean, your basal temperature does go up, so.
Shut up and sit down.
Wow, that was so easy.
It's a cute baby podcast. I'm going to name you the Bitchcast. Welcome to the world, Bitchcast. I'm Alexander Price.
I'm not crowning, but I am Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And this is Cece Maraschino. And aren't you glad that once the baby comes out, you're completely done and nothing else happens?
Yeah.
Everything's good now.
I feel like...
Look at that 10-pound baby.
Well, Alexander actually was. But look, let's look at this 8-month-old baby that just came out.
That's the thing. I was a very healthy 9-pound, 1 ounce, no...
Natural birth.
Natural birth. Not by choice. By insurance purposes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Worst reason for anything.
My mom had it all. She went through... She had 3 kids, mm-mm, all 3 different ways of pregnancy. Natural for me, cesarean for my middle sister, and all the drugs for my youngest sister. And she...
I feel like that really like lines up with all of your personalities. Is that a weird thing to say?
No.
No, it totally makes sense. And also, like, his mom has gone on the record saying, the third one was the best. I got to keep my makeup on. I had my nails done. This
she was
great.
Chatting with everyone, like, push.
I love the thought of your mom, like, there's the doctors in between her legs, and then, like, literally, like, a woman painting her toenails, like, next to the doctor.
Well, it's already in the stirrups. Might as well.
You're not moving for a while, so.
I just feel like we learned about pregnancy growing up by pop culture, and they were wrong about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, most people did. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, going through it and nearing the end of it, all the things that people A, think they know, or B, get focused on because of what pop culture told them are just like either wrong or irrelevant.
So let's just real quick, based on pop culture, what we as people who have not gone through it at all, mm-hmm, kind of expect pregnancy is solely based on that. Mm-hmm. It seems like you get pregnant by accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always. Because if you're trying, it never goes well.
Here's the other thing is that, like, according to pop culture, like, you have unprotected sex and then 3 days later you start throwing up.
Yes.
Yes.
You're like, oh my God, I missed my period 3 days ago.
Yeah. So you do that and then everything is kind of the same for the longest time until at one point you start getting moody or angry or crying. And then you get uncomfortable, and then you just give birth within a day.
From the things that people have asked me about, pop culture and those people who have learned about it are obsessed with, like, pregnant women craving weird food items.
Yes.
Oh.
Like, it's like, what are you craving? What weird things have you been eating? And I'm like, it's not, like...
Have you had any weird cravings whatsoever?
So, mostly we're not going to be focused on me. Mostly we're going to be focused on the wrong...
No, I'm just curious
culture,
to see
But
if
I
it's...
will say, yeah. So, I was incredibly nauseous for 5 months all the time.
Ugh.
24 hours a day.
Oh God.
And the one thing I craved,
it just sounds good,
McDonald's french fries.
I believe that. I
because
believe
they
that.
Tasted like salt and nothing.
Yep. Yeah. Did you also want the vanilla soft serve?
No, I just wanted McDonald's french fries.
When I was sick, as growing up, as an adult, McDonald's french fries was literally what I would always want.
Yeah, because mm-hmm, it's salt and crunch and nothing else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would add a vanilla soft serve because then I would
dip it in the thing.
But otherwise, it was just
solid
those french
choice
fries.
Always.
Yeah.
Unless you're super nauseous 24/7.
My mom, not for a second, had a single weird craving. She did, however, decide that now's the time that she's going to have vanilla milkshakes and malts all the time.
Mm. Although she did, Chris, she did develop a weird aversion to the smell of lamb.
Oh. Yeah, she did develop that. That's what I'm saying. She got aversions to smells and stuff like that, but
yeah,
it was never like, oh, I crave whatever. She's like, oh no, I have a baby growing inside me. Great, I'll just eat whatever the fuck I want. And what she wanted was milkshakes.
The biggest thing that bothers me now for a pregnancy pop culture trope, because I've seen it several times.
Right.
And this is not something I've experienced yet. It's just a mental thing where I'm like, sure. No. Is where like a television show uses as proof of a woman's extreme competency that she doesn't want to go to the hospital when her labor starts.
Yes. Yes. Where you're like, immediately, take me there now.
No, as soon as you hit a critical point, you go, I'm not going to be like, no, let's keep pushing it. I'm going to be like, let's go.
I've got work to do. I'm a working woman.
My mentality, and this is clearly as a male who doesn't have to go through this, I've been told that hospitals are the most boring place in the world. And so, as you said, like when you reach a critical point, definitely go. But it's just like, it's not my water broke. I need to go there immediately unless there's also stuff.
Like the physics of water breaking are also unpop culture. Yeah. It's just like ridiculous because A, like it doesn't always happen.
No.
B, it does not happen at the beginning. Like it's not the signifier that labor has begun.
True.
Also,
true.
Where is the mucus plug? That's my question.
Yeah.
Who here has seen The Miracle of Birth?
I have not.
Oh, great. Then I can inform both of you.
Yeah.
So we watched The Miracle of Birth in middle school.
Yeah.
Because we had a pretty robust sex education in my school.
I never officially got sex ed because it was in eighth grade and I skipped eighth grade. Yeah. So I got no school mandated sex ed.
Oh, I had sex ed in like fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade.
Well, no,
and
like the
grade.
Sex ed that was specifically about birth, sex and birth.
Yeah. Oh,
like yeah. I got sex mandated. I got mandated menstruation.
Sure.
Class.
Oh,
did you have to go to a tea party? Because I think in my elementary school, the girls and their mothers were invited to like a tea party, and that's where they talked about periods.
We watched an 80s video.
Oh,
was
good.
This gender divide divided?
Oh yeah, always. Okay. Yeah. Oh, boys can't learn about periods because periods are gross and we want to keep boys in the dark and we want to keep girls ashamed of them.
Yeah, like as gay men, I was saying this earlier, Alexander and I have been very familiar with aspects of periods that we've just been told by our friends for the longest time. So I assumed I knew things about pregnancy. I do not whatsoever.
It also, yeah, no, the two things do not correlate.
Right. I just assumed that naturally, like, well, women talk about stuff, so I would know. Like,
at a certain point in my life, which was honestly not that long ago and should have started earlier, I like made it a mission to not, like, made it a mission to like in front of everyone be like, hey, does anyone have a tampon? Anyone? Because I'm like, I'm not going to like right now it's like a whisper network where it's like,
yeah. Shh.
And then you like do a handoff like you're in a heist. Bullshit.
So anyways, in middle school, it was not gendered split, right? It was half the class, half the people would go to the medical, right? Like the very like scientific explanation with Mr. DeRoche, who had a sperm keychain flashlight just for sex ed month or whatever.
Right.
It was like very much, you could ask anything. It was super in depth. And then we would go to the yearbook teacher / PE teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's when we did like the role playing and like STDs and like consent and all that.
Oh, they include consent. Good.
But we had to watch The Miracle of Birth. And y'all aren't ready for the level of pubic hair. The fact the fact that one of the women just gives birth naked. And then the teacher literally is like, no one does that.
Was this video made in the 70s
probably? I don't know. Okay. But then you literally see it. You see every moment, and it's pretty terrifying. But my friend, when I got older, worked with an organization that did a lot of teaching with like young girls, and also was a sex education teacher that would go to different schools. Her favorite thing to do was to play Miracle of Birth and then get to it and then rewind. And forward. And rewind. Forward.
Reverse.
Where you just get like sucked back up and pushed back out and sucked back up.
Since we're talking about the pop culture of it, the only TV show that comes to mind where anything felt even like vaguely realistic to me was Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
But see, Brooklyn Nine-Nine just did the thing where, like, the woman put off going to the hospital yeah. forever.
Yes. No, right. But it was like she had a terrible experience for the twins.
No, oh, so that. I'm talking about the most recent Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. Oh, that
where, one. Yes. Like, she's so hyper-competent that she puts off going to the hospital forever.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the one where Terry Crews's wife is giving birth to their technically third child because they had twins the first time. And she had such a terrible experience at the hospital the first time. She's terrified of going there.
Yes.
But the idea was, as the only person there who had given birth before and no one else in this precinct had, everyone else gradually learning the realities of it and mm-hmm. and coming to terms with the reality of what giving birth is was felt very refreshing. Especially even Gina one time just sitting down going, I looked at page 57. I need a good 5 minutes.
It is. I mean, it's really interesting because the only people who really know what it's like are the people who've gone through it. Like, right. It's hard. It's just something that you can't expect other people to know about. The only unfortunate thing is when people think that they know what it's like because of pop culture.
And then right. telling you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, I don't expect you to know. You know what I mean? Like, and if you have questions up to a certain point and we're friends, strangers don't at me. But I'm happy to talk about it because it's an interesting experience and also like most of what I've been doing for the year.
Yeah. There's just yeah. one true thing that we were taught. And if you're having a boy, it means you're going to be beautiful. And if you're having a girl, she steals all your youth and
beauty. We were taught.
Yes, it is true.
We were taught.
Is that not a thing people were taught?
I was taught it.
Well, Alexander, you also grew up in a family full of women who had all given birth, and they all had very specific opinions on whether they had boys or girls.
Honestly, I think the most damaging one to me, it's like, and God bless my friend for asking me this, but I'm like, the women who are like, I was talking to Bob about this the other night, and I'm like, wouldn't it be great if I was like a cool pregnant woman who like felt closer to like the rhythms of the earth and like and we're like, this is largely bullshit, right? Because a friend of mine, when we were talking about it right when I first got pregnant, she was like, so did you like know right away? Because my sister was like, she knew and she could feel something immediately, and I was just like, that sounds great. No, I did not know.
Flip side of that, Hannah, my aunt, who is celiac and has a gluten thing like me, didn't know for 4 months because she was so used to like GI distress and like feeling yeah. bloated and all sorts of stuff that she's like, oh, I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Ooh. Also like this is why, like, not to make it all political, but this is why 6 week abortion bans are such shit, because most women yeah. don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you're not actively trying and you're mm-hmm. not on like a 4 week cycle, which most women are not.
No.
Yeah. And even if you are in a 4 week cycle, like,
yeah, you don't have a medical condition that maybe you're period is like regular in general.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, it's not like you within 3 days you're suddenly vomiting or something.
No.
Yeah.
Ugh. But I'm like I'm happy for the, like, great if that's your experience, if that's the story you want to tell yourself because it makes you feel connected to something, that's fine. But like, women should not have to have the expectation of, oh, I knew and I could feel something. Like, no, don't put that on women. Like, no. Jesus.
Women have enough on their plate. Leave them alone.
So we're all feeling slightly more hopeful, maybe, than we used to. Things are starting to maybe open back up again. Yep. And you know what that means. You're going to need to get out of situations.
Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Lots of awkwardness has been avoided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You haven't had to see anyone in person. You remember what it's like to talk to a stranger that you don't want to talk to? Or talk to an acquaintance that you don't want to talk to?
Ooh.
Or just ignore a coworker by putting them on mute?
How are you going to get out of these situations now? Well, do I have a solution for you?
Do tell.
It's called, oh no, my water just broke.
Oh.
Now this product, I know it sounds like, is just for the female identifying of us, but I'm going to push back on that and say, who's going to question you?
Yeah.
The beauty of this system is its simplicity. Mm-hmm. Just a carrying case full of water balloons. And oh no, you're in a conversation about someone's neighbor who you don't care about. How are you going to get out of this? You just reach into that case, drop a water balloon and say, oh no, my water broke, and run.
So it's, this carrying case is full out in the open. It's not like a hidden,
it could be disguised as like many couch? Attractive things. A purse, a cat,
a picnic basket,
a fanny pack.
And all you have to say is, if people are like, what is that? You're like, it's an attractive case. And they're like, oh, I love your attractive case. And you're like, I know.
Oh no, my water broke.
Bye. Who's going to question you? If I have learned anything.
Yes.
for my 30-something years on this earth. No one ever questions water breaking.
No.
Oh, no. My water broke.
Splish splash. Just go to sleep. Just sleep for one.
I don't even know what that question was.
How am I supposed to do housekeeping when you're keeping me up all night?
Honey, things are looking a little dusty in here.
Well, just rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. And
take one thing off my plate.
Please, I've got so much on my plate.
Alexander, after how many episodes of three different podcasts, are you still doing visual comedy?
I appreciated that you kept up the pat the entire time.
Yeah, those at home, he was carrying a baby and patting its head.
That was its chest.
Yes, and it informs my vocal character that I send to the listener.
Yeah, do you want him to be halfway in character?
No, obviously. I want him to go full method on me.
How dare you say I'm method?
Just like you and Ryan Gosling.
Anyways, you can find me anywhere at Yet Charming.
But you'll never find where he buried Cece's body. Reach out to me on Instagram at Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And look at me still alive. Cece Maraschino, I guess.
Hashtag Cece Maraschino. Nope. I'm not even going to tell you anymore, pizza. You asshole. Hashtag Maraschino Truther. Can you get to the questions?
No! No!
Get to the questions, you bitch.
My boyfriend and I are having a baby and talking about names, and the concept of middle names came up. Do you really have to have one? We both do and realize we always are surprised when someone doesn't, but we have no strong feelings about creating one. What should we do?
I don't think you have to.
You don't. I do think a middle name is the place where you get to be like fun.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
A little more whimsical.
It's on government documents, but that's it, unless the child decides to brace it or whatever.
But usually it's just an initial. Mm-hmm. So usually when you fill out stuff, mm-hmm. it's just a middle initial.
Now, my middle name ended up being important to my identity as I got older. Because it never people did not use it when I was growing up. And then when I went to college, it like became what people called me in a nice way where I felt like it was a new chapter in my life. And I was like taking on the world and I felt like a new person. And that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. My middle name allowed me an option if I needed to switch it to join a union and or be like, it was like it's a good last name, first name. It was just real utilitarian.
And mine, which is now part of my full identity on this show, is my mom's maiden name. And she had no strong preference about her name being my last name or hyphenated. She hated that idea. But she, once she got closer to birth, basically decided, I want my name to be part of his somehow. So the middle name came.
I'm very supportive of putting a family name in the middle name slot because I think hyphenated names so rarely work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like very supportive of both names being a part of it. So if you can slot one in the middle name, that's a good solution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like I said, go full crazy.
Yeah.
Like Willow Tree.
Maraschino.
Please don't do Maraschino.
I want all babies with middle names of Maraschino.
Frangelico.
Ooh. Is that your favorite liquor?
Yeah. Di Serono. Mm-hmm.
The thing that you most missed while you were pregnant, just as a tribute. Oh.
Marijuana?
Yes.
Okay.
Honestly, yes.
Oh my God. Actually, that would be, I just want every kindergartner teacher to read out the class list the first day and get to George Marijuana Ginsburg.
Whatever. You could also, as like an experiment on your own child, because who doesn't want an experiment on their own child?
I mean,
leave the middle name up to them.
Oh.
Because you could change your name at any point in your life, legally.
That's true. And what a great thing for agency for that child. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to pick your middle name.
Now, are you also suggesting that they have, throughout their lives, have multiple times that they get to do it? Or it's a one and done?
I don't know. I might pick it as sort of like a coming of age moment kind of thing.
Mm. Oh.
Like a secular bat mitzvah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you do, right?
Yeah. I was given a Hebrew name at birth.
Okay.
But I know Catholics take on a saint's name when they hit like 16 or something, right? Like,
no, it's usually much, much earlier.
It's what?
It's when you're christened, when you're like six.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not christened
at six.
No, not christened. Blech. It's when you go in for your first communion.
Yes.
But it's still six. It's like five or six is when they really do that. And that's when you get your Catholic name.
But like secularize it or fun. Choose your favorite punctuation mark and put that as your middle name. So be like.
Not spelled out.
Alexander ampersand Price.
Or you can do what I've been considering and just fully give in to the capitalist society that we live in and sell those naming rights to a corporation.
Oh.
And get a nice chunk of change for your child.
That's a good idea. Hannah Pepsi Ginsburg.
Exactly.
It's like, it's great if you actually get the money, but what if you do the same thing, even if you don't get the money, just to see how people react to it? Like, again, Christopher Capital One, the CEO.
No, I'm only capitalizing. I'm only, I don't even know what that word was. I'm only.
You mean you go to the tropics.
Yes, I'm only traumatizing my child for cold, hard cash.
My girlfriend's parents have the worst taste in decor and art. When you go into their house, you feel like you're in a motel. Since my girlfriend grew up with this, she thinks this is normal. She just got her own apartment for the first time and is starting to buy furniture. I know it's not my place, but the stuff she is looking at and showing me is not just ugly, but also really expensive. How do I guide her away from this without insulting her taste?
You can't. I think you have to do a little insulting because, I don't know. Are we looking at like paintings of like nothing?
Ships. Yeah, I'm guessing.
Pastel colors.
I'm picturing it, but I might be wrong.
And also that stuff has to be expensive because no one's buying it.
I think you can frame it trickily as like a moral thing without being insulting. Like, what if we supported local artists?
Oh.
And then like find some examples of local art or like, you're spending so much money on this furniture. Look at these cheaper options. Like if you're doing it in a helpful way or from like a moral place.
Yeah. Now somehow in my head, I feel like what if they live in the motel art capital of the world and all the local artists are the people who create those?
Cincinnati?
At least you're supporting local artists.
I mean, sure. It's just like every local art fair.
And like people who actually need this money.
Yeah. I have a very specific taste that is also in some ways stereotypically gay, I think. I feel like a lot of gay men like a mid-century modern aesthetic.
Gay men of a certain ilk, as we've learned anything from the J. Manuel book.
Well.
and also JW. Lucite. Lucite all day.
You could also be like, don't you just want to cover your apartment in cute photos of us?
Oh.
Oh my God. That is a
But we got to take them. We don't have enough. Yeah, yeah.
How about let's have a craft day? We'll just paint the whole house ourselves with murals.
You know what? As someone who fucking hates painting walls, I would divorce that person before we were married to get out of painting.
My thing is like, look, it's your girlfriend's apartment. She's the one who has to look at it.
She's the one who's spending the money. I mean, the only thing I worry about is if she doesn't have the money.
My best in for you is try to like show her that there are cheaper options that are so neutral. Yeah.
Divert her. Yeah. Divert her away. Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, this is just might be something you have to live with. My husband and I have very different taste in art. We like came together on one thing and that's most of our decor. But a lot of the time, like we do not like the same thing. He doesn't like anything distressed.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think I actually fully know what both of your tastes are when it comes
I like something that looks a little bit distressed. I like that. And I also, I like a certain sense of kitsch, which he has no use for.
Sure. Oh, I get that.
I also get the mentality because Bob, in many ways, reminds me so much of my dad, where the idea of like, why would you buy something distressed?
That's, yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's that. Also, it's all of our furniture would be leather if it were up to him. So. Oh. Or at least we'd have like one giant leather couch.
A couch?
Yeah.
Get a leather like club chair. He would love that.
But we do both love Art Deco, thankfully. So like we can come together on that. So maybe try to find like the one thing you both like and then steer her towards that.
Be like, we're going to be spending time together.
Or if there's like a pop cultural thing you both like that can translate into some kind of decor.
You know what? Go neutral. The Friends Coffee Shop. That's kind of like a motel.
How dare you? No, I also think find stuff and be like, oh my God, isn't this so cute? And like show like it's like affordable and but like, oh my God, I love this.
Or also if you just sneak in with a gift Like, before she buys anything, just sneak in with a piece of art that's a housewarming gift. And then, you know, hopefully the entire apartment just gets based around that.
Is Alan Alda sexy?
I've never thought about that. And that's strange for me because I feel like I objectify all men immediately.
Hashtag all men.
Hashtag all men. Hashtag objectify men.
I would not kick MASH era Alan Alda out of bed.
Question. When you guys were growing up, did you watch MASH or any young Alan Alda?
Occasionally.
Stuff? Okay.
I was not a regular watcher.
I was aware of MASH.
I was aware of MASH, but I had never seen, and to this day, I still haven't seen an episode of it. I
That's
want to.
That's shocking for you.
I'm curious about it, but it was just not like available in the same sort of way or whatever. And you know me about being completionist. I don't want to watch like a random episode in the middle or whatever.
Yeah. And also if you commit to MASH, that's a long watch.
A lot.
Yeah, that is.
I will say he's a little too gangly for me. Like young Alan Alda was a little too like bones.
But does have a beautiful thick head of hair.
He does. Yeah.
And a nice eyebrow. You know I love a strong eyebrow.
You do love a strong eyebrow. Yeah.
For me, the one thing that makes him kind of sexy, and this may be insane to say, is his voice.
That is weird. That's a weird thing to say about Alan Alda.
He has a very distinct, full voice, but and this is also because of who I am, and I didn't grow up watching him. There's also a little piece of me that always associates him with Bill Hader.
Oh, because of the SNL impression?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also their two voices are not
dissimilar. I was going to say, I think you like, and I almost took offense to this, like he has a loud voice, even when he's not talking very loud. There's a like intensity to his voice.
Yeah.
That I don't appreciate you referring or
comparing
me to.
I wasn't the one who did. You're the one who brought up that.
He comes across smart, and smart is sexy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Though dumb.
Exactly.
Also sexy.
It's in a different way. Like, give me that himbo sometimes. Mm-hmm. Also, if he big and dumb and he just cuddle, big dumb cuddle, that's good.
But smart is sexy.
Make you feel small.
And he has very liberal politics, which is also sexy.
Yeah.
Yes, that is also very sexy. There are many people that are less sexy than Alan Alda.
Yes.
I think there's more people that are less sexy than Alan Alda than sexier than Alan Alda.
I'm comfortable with that answer. Yeah.
When you put all the parts of a person together.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like he would care about your experience.
And your needs. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He'll be good for conversation.
He can mash me anytime.
Go get your Alan Alda.
Today! All right. I have finally put down the podcast, baby. No one say anything loud. It is very important that it not wake up because I am going to scream if it wakes up again. Maraschino, I see you. I see you doing it.
Alexander, put down the fan. This is not the time for a thwarp.
I can't help it.
I know. That's what I'm telling you. You're your own worst enemy when it comes to the podcast, baby.
So for the Bitchcast, I have been Alexander Price.
I'll be Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
I hate all of this. Podcast baby. Podcast baby. Podcast baby.
Good night.
Is your baby's middle name Baby? And fuck on.